Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, it looks like we're going to cover two of your favorite topics today.
Oh, yeah. What are we going to talk about? Logistics and books?
There you go.
Well, I'm looking forward to learning more about both. We're going to catch up with some old friends, make some new ones. A little bit later in the program, we're going to have back on the Business Radio X microphone, good friend of ours, Trellis Usher. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce CEO and founder with Technology. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Spencer Askew. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, Spencer, can you tell us a little bit about Technology? How are you serving folks?
Yeah, great question. So we have developed the industry's first fully intelligence-based platform to help automate and drive continued efficiencies throughout the supply chain and the logistics industry.
Well, that's pretty broad. Any specific area in supply chain and logistics, or is it more warehouse, more transportation, or all of the above?
Yeah, great question. So initially, we designed the platform to focus primarily on the shipment lifecycle, from rating all the way through to accounting and creating efficiencies throughout that lifecycle. But then as we've evolved the tech platform and created TAI, which is our artificial intelligence engine, now we've focused on
TAI, T-A-I.
That's correct.
Right, not T-I-E.
Yeah, exactly. T-A-I. Yeah, technology, artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. That's what it represents. And so from there, we've started focusing on more business process management across the entire supply chain and life cycle to add value to companies and drive further efficiencies to what they do in logistics.
Well, can we get into the weeds a little bit? Like, how would a company utilize this?
Yeah, great question. So one area from a business perspective is in the area of accounting. So a lot of third-party logistics companies, asset carriers, trucking companies, cash flow is obviously king to most businesses. And so making sure that customers who they've extended credit to are performing and paying within those terms. And so as we started contemplating just the collections departments of organizations to find the perfect version of themselves in terms of the method and frequency, in terms of how they invoice customers, they follow up with phone calls and emails to make sure that they're paying their invoices on time. And so where TAI adds value to organizations is he looks across the data in terms of how frequent and the method of customers that are paying within their terms versus the ones that are not. And so he's there to add value as an extension of their collections department to make sure that that company is collecting money as the most perfect version of themselves at all times.
But how does, why would this be specific to supply chain? Wouldn't this be relevant to every business?
It is, but areas specific to supply chain as well from a trucking company. So our industry really has three core layers. There's the shipper layer, which is represented by manufacturers, distributors, retailers, e-commerce providers. The middle layer is typically your third-party logistics companies or your non-asset carriers. They coordinate shipping, but they don't own trucks or planes or steamships. And then the asset carrier of the industry, that layer of the industry is made up of your actual assets, your trucking companies with drivers, your planes, your steamships, and so forth. And so what we've done with the platform is in the application of the platform enables the shipper community with a certain set of business functions, the third-party logistics layer, as well as the asset carrier layer. So in the asset carrier layer, an example would be most trucking companies really want to focus on their operating ratios. They want to make sure that their margins and that they're operating very healthy. And so when you think about hub and spoke networks, some of those can become quite complicated in terms of where density is flowing in and out of those networks to make sure that they're maximizing profit on a per customer basis. And so where TAI adds value on a daily basis is he's constantly monitoring that density flow to help carriers price their freight and their freight rates in a more dynamic environment. Whereas a lot of carriers have come a long way in terms of costing their freight, but in terms of pricing it to their customers has been a big area where we've seen a lot of improvement being driven through the technology platform.
because you can tell if it's especially a third party shipper, they can see they're not shipping for one person necessarily. They're shipping for multiple people, and they can say, well, this person pays on time and then this person doesn't. And then they can take more of the on time load.
That's right. So you can mirror the correct price to the correct customer who's paying within terms. And right. So when you kind of pull it all together, the intelligence layer helping the hub and spoke network in terms of managing and moving their density could also ensure and make sure that they're managing and moving density for customers that will pay within terms.
Right. And the most profitable
That's
people
right.
get instead of first in That's for right. the most profitable gets right. in first.
And unfortunately, in a lot of companies, as you may well know, a lot of departments don't cross data and they don't compare notes with one another. So right. from an accounting department to your operations team, right. that's trying to make sure your asset fleet is operating efficiently. In a lot of cases, those departments, even though they may be in the same building.
Right, they're siloed, so they don't share. They're not good sharers.
And they typically don't have an all-seeing eye overseeing their data across departments.
Because then operations could say, hey, we got full trucks all the time. And then accounting saying, well, those people, you know, two-thirds of them aren't paying on time. So it's better not to have full trucks.
Absolutely. That's right.
So then, so your solution helps them kind of communicate more efficiently and the data flows in both directions.
It does. Every company sees their data. We describe it. Most organizations know that there is value that lies within their data across all departments.
Sure.
It's a business discussion as well as a logistics discussion. But a lot of organizations struggle with determining the value of the data. And they think there's some golden nugget sitting in buried deep in the realms of their data, spreadsheets, and so forth across all these departments. And so we're there to help them quantify the size of the golden nugget and help them dig it out of the ground and take advantage of it.
Now, is this something that's new or has been around for a while?
So in our industry, right, wrong, or indifferent, the industry has been around for a while. Obviously, it's a $4 trillion plus
right.
industry.
I mean, supply chain's been around, but
no
this
doubt
solution.
About it. That's right. Yeah. So current day, it still remains quite fragmented in terms of the level of automation that companies are taking advantage of. And from an intelligence perspective,
are people still using paper and writing things down manually?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, phone, fax, pen and paper would still
facts,
be our industry's definition of low-cost IT, no doubt.
Facts still
absolutely.
Happens.
Absolutely. They exist.
Wow.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, maybe fortunately for us. But yeah, when you contemplate a platform that has all things intelligence and what we call industry consulting intelligence built into the DNA of the software
right.
to act as an extension of the organization across all of their various business departments. We have been the innovators in our industry for this type of capability. And so what we've done, and with the name and the spelling of the name of the business, the latter part of the spelling represents We Know Logistics. So there's knowledge in what we built into the platform. Specific to the logistics industry.
Now, like you mentioned, this industry has been around forever in some form or another. They're not exactly the first to try new things, right? So how do you...
Typically speaking, a little bit slow to adopt to change.
Well, if they're still using paper and faxes,
no
that
doubt.
Should be a clue that maybe they're not, you know, the bleeding edge of technology.
That's right. Yeah.
But some, I mean, I know for... Sure, that in some ways they are. I mean, some of them are using drones and AI and all kinds of augmented reality. We've done shows on supply chain. We've had people doing amazing things leveraging technology. But by and large, a big chunk of the supply chain world is slow to adopt new things, and they're kind of going along screaming and kicking.
That's right.
So for you, how did you get early customers to kind of play around with this software even?
Yeah, great question. So I think, you know, our kind of knowledge, I guess, within the industry and in seeing that a lot of companies from a pure software perspective are a bit slow to change, adopt and adapt, as we call it, to new innovative ideas and so forth. But as we design the capability, we've lived in the industry at the ground level for so long. We designed what we felt like was a super relevant solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, not trying to talk you know, three-dimensional drone type, let's change everything you're doing in terms of how you get from point A to point B. But what we wanted to do is take industry knowledge and expertise that does exist within all of these organizations in the heads of guys that have worked in, gals that have worked in the industry for 20, 30 plus years. How do you capture that knowledge into your software platform to help it enable their job and their day and help them go further faster? And so we think, again, based on kind of market acceptance that we've seen over the last, you know, call it 12 months since we introduced a lot of the capabilities in our company's evolution, where the relevancy of the solution is very easy for companies to adopt because they don't have to bring in our software platform, call a timeout in their business for the next 6 months, and try to train the system on what it needs to do in terms to make them better.
Right.
Our system shows up with a lot of industry knowledge pre-built into the DNA. And so companies see immediate value just in, as we call it, deploying one wrinkle of Ty's brain to help them operate in an area of their company in a more efficient manner.
Does it start from the accountant side?
No, typically it really starts as a, here's all your business departments. Here's your supply chain and your logistics strategy.
Right.
And what are you trying to accomplish? What is your today definition of a logistics strategy? What's your tomorrow strategy look like? And then what are the blocking and tackling elements that you continually struggle with? And so typically a customer has the ability to pick the area or the department within their supply chain that they feel like either needs some additional blocking and tackling support, automated emails, automated voicemails for customer service when a shipment is going to miss delivery or miss pickup, rather than waiting on a customer to call and figure out where's my shipment.
So you're Let's being create proactive. An outbound call. Right.
That's right. So everything is proactive versus reactive. And so essentially, we allow businesses to determine where they would want to deploy our software capability initially.
But what's the pain they're having? Is it usually around customer service, or is it usually around, I mean, I would imagine the biggest bang is that kind of the timing of
a lot of areas. So for example, in the shipper layer of the industry, obviously e-commerce is driving a lot of what we're seeing out in the market. Home deliveries and white glove shipments are
right. Well, there's more and more. So that's stressing the systems, especially if they're not automated and they're not using technology.
That's right. Yeah. And so proof of delivery is just a big basic kind of topic, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're dealing with probably still 90% of our industry, just on the trucking company side for doing pickups and deliveries, are smaller entities, meaning their fleets are made up of 5 to 50 trucks. And so those individual companies may or may not have a tremendous amount of software running their business, hence the phone fax, pen, paper, right. and so forth.
Are they taking photos of the box at your house and then?
Well, exactly. Yeah. So that's an
office?
Area, right? So we're helping shippers enable all of the drivers and all of the various trucking companies that are handling their shipments with mobile capabilities to help connect data back into their ERP system, mm-hmm. so they have visibility throughout that life cycle.
But they already have ERP systems in place, right? And you're
no
just
doubt. We integrate. That's right. We upgrade and overlay to all of those systems.
And then, do you help in the training, or like, is this all kind of self-explanatory?
We do, but a lot of it is self-service. So the way we designed the system was so someone didn't have to understand how it all works and how to put all the pieces together. They just understand how to use it.
So the user interface is pretty intuitive.
Very Google-esque. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now, so you have customers right now?
We do. Yeah, we do.
What was that process like? Because this is probably new for a lot of them to do something like this.
Yes.
It goes across different siloed departments.
No doubt. Yeah, so we marketed kind of the intelligence layer of our platform in June of last year was the initial rollout launch.
So it hasn't even been a year yet.
Has not. And so we've seen the highest customer acquisition in our business over the last several months than we've ever seen in the history of the company. And so we saw within about 30 days, we acquired about 200 plus new customers coming off of an industry conference that we titled sponsored in Chicago, a 3PL summit. And then we've just continued to see those companies introduce our software to all of the vendors and all of the customers that they do business with.
It creates its own virality because
right.
they have to explain it to their vendors, and the vendors are like, how do I get some of that?
That's right. We want that. That's right. Yeah.
So then it's growing very, it sounds rapidly, pretty organically.
It is. It is. Yeah. So through customer referrals, we continue to market what we're doing at an industry level. Mm-hmm. So a little different than maybe most tech companies. We don't have a tremendous number of sales reps, as some companies may say, dialing for dollars.
Right.
We've tried to do a good job in communicating the capability at an industry level. And so through that, we participate quite heavily in a lot of industry trade shows and conferences. And then from there, we see a lot of referral customers coming from some of those adopters.
So when you say participate, that's speaking typically?
We do. That's right. Yep. So typically our marketing thesis is to title sponsor most of the events that we participate in, and that carries some keynote sessions and some of the sidebar sessions that we drive as well.
And then when you're seen as the industry expert in this space, then the customers just kind of gravitate towards that, you found?
Yes, sir. Yep. Becomes kind of a natural progression for us.
So now, how often are you going to trade shows? Is that like every couple months or every?
Yes.
So that's your job?
It is.
You're the trade show guy?
Yes. I kind of get pulled in to speak at some of the events. So it's quite a busy schedule. So starting in April, we'll run pretty much every couple weeks to a new trade show through the end of June. And then they start back again around August through kind of the end of October.
But you don't have a booth. You just speak.
We have all the above.
Oh, so you have a booth
typically,
too?
Typically, that's right.
Oh,
yes.
How many people are in your company?
Oh, so we have right around 78 staff members in the business. Yeah, yeah.
So you're growing pretty quick.
We are.
All right, what, you must be looking for talent. Are you looking for developers? Like, who do you need from
all
talent
the time?
Team?
All the time. So we have an office here in Atlanta, facility in Dallas, and then an office in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And when I found out Snapchat laid off half of their workforce in California,
like, oh,
I thought
somebody
I was to go recruit developers.
So that's the hardest thing to find?
It has been, yeah. So getting the right on the development team, and the fact that we have really introduced, specific to our industry, the practical usage of machine learning and artificial intelligence, and what we call it is an LES, a logistics expert system. Mm-hmm. And that was a brand new acronym that we introduced to the industry in June of last year as well. Similar to SAP, they introduced the ERP acronym along with the functionality. So we did something similar there. We delivered the functionality around the logistics expert system, as well as the name. And, you know, we have analyst firms like Gartner and some of those folks who are looking at potentially creating a quadrant for the LES, which in our industry, you have a WMS quadrant, a warehouse management system. You have a TMS, a transportation management system, magic quadrant. And so this is what some of the analyst firms are looking at, is kind of the next iteration or evolution of overall platform capability that really becomes the new normal, kind of setting a new standard.
But do you see yourselves as not necessarily a technology firm, but a technology firm that's specific for logistics and supply chain?
We do. Yeah, very, very focused in the industry, even though we do contemplate business and business process efficiencies.
Right, because that sounds like would be pretty industry agnostic. Those needs seem to go across all kinds of industries. But I guess the complexity of supply chain is a good sweet spot for you.
It's a great end into the organization for sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's usually the way the point of entry is, through the problem or pain they're feeling in the supply chain, inefficiencies, or they're not maximizing the opportunities, and you guys are a good fit to at least explore ways to smooth that out and to get more efficiency and to, you know, generate more revenue.
Correct. Yeah. So most companies kind of, you know, to keep it simple a bit, when people talk about large, complex digital transformation programs and projects and so forth. But at the root of the industry, whether you're a shipper or a 3PL or an asset carrier, you really focus on one of two things. If you're on the sell side, the 3PL or the carrier layer, you want to maximize revenue and margin, right? So the question is, how do I make more money? Mm-hmm. And then if you're on the shipper side of it, is how do I save money in shipping,
right,
throughout my supply chain? And so when you kind of start with two just basic business problems that are always going to exist, we've tried to develop a solution stack that addresses and continues to answer those two basic questions, right? Because it can get quite complicated when you get into the weeds, but you know, ultimately, if we can help companies in the industry make more money if they're on the
right, or save more money.
Or save money. That's right.
So now, where's usually the point of entry? Is it the third party, the shipper, which is usually the first person to adopt this?
Yeah. So we had actually, I guess, just with our background in the industry and kind of being around for a while, we had really participation from all three layers of the industry mm-hmm. with what we had identified as some of the who's who in the industry that could help us move the needle from a reference perspective, referral perspective. And so, you know, fortunately we saw a lot of adoption from really the main three core layers. And, you know, part of that may be of how we introduced the capability at some of the various trade shows and
right,
conferences,
because so
they're very specific
to,
either,
to whatever
right,
trade
retail
show you're
having
to be in.
Versus 3PL.
So you just
versus,
flex, you just aim right. the thing to that specific.
That's right.
Now, are you going to be heading to the Georgia Logistics Summit and the MODEX that's going to be here?
We will.
April?
We will. So I will be in Palm Desert at the TIA show, and then that kind of overlays with the 3PL, the Georgia Logistics Summit. So I'll kind of go between Palm Desert and Atlanta that week.
Wow, that'll yeah. be fun.
Exactly.
For you.
Yeah,
coast
right.
to coast?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
He wears comfortable yeah. shoes 24/7, right, yeah. though, don't you?
I don't wear dress shoes.
All right. Where can our listeners go to learn more, have a conversation with you or somebody on your team about some of these topics?
Yes, that'd be great. So we're our website is technology.com, technowlogi.com. From there, we have various social media. So our Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn is available. I think I'm on LinkedIn/Spencer Askew. And our Twitter is @technology. And I believe our Facebook is just /technology.
Well, congratulations on the momentum, man. Keep up the good work.
We appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah. And let's get together and go do a couple trade shows. We'll take this whole thing on the road and be in the booth or whatever.
I'm in.
Yeah, that's fun stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Awesome. Yes. Thanks for having me.
And we also want to connect. Do you know Scott Luton? And we do a show called Supply Chain Radio. Supply Chain Now Radio.
Yeah, I've seen.
That we got to connect you with Scott. He hosts that show.
That'd be awesome.
So, who are you doing the favor there, Scott or him?
I think both. Both
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no, we'll get you connected with those folks.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
All right, Lee, you ready for the headliner?
I am. She had the biggest entrance, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with the CEO and managing consultant, and I think now we can add author to that title, with the T.R. Ellis Group. Please join me in welcoming back to the Business Radio X microphone, Miss Trellis Usher. Good morning,
Hello.
Sunshine.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Did you learn anything in that last segment?
I did. I learned a lot. I learned that, you know, I need to talk to the company about their talent issues that they're having. So, you know, that's my sweet spot.
There's your sweet spot. And you've dealt with some human capital challenges over the years, huh?
I have.
So add salesperson to that list, too.
Right, add salesperson.
Managing consultant, author, add salesperson.
I'm all of that.
Nicely played. She's got a new book out, though, Lee. That's what we're going to talk about.
All right. So tell us about the book.
My new book is called The Blueprint. It's how to live a life of authenticity and purpose. And it feels like I've been writing it probably for a decade. And it's finally out. It's out globally now on all of the major online booksellers as of March the 22nd. And so it's just a book about how to help people, you know, live more authentic lives and ask themselves some serious questions that maybe they haven't. Over the years. And so started with some workshops and some just kind of typically everything starts with a girlfriend's outing for me as me and some of my friends were together and going over some things that I was doing as part of my corporate job and started to parlay into this blueprint idea. And they were like, Trellis, you've got to write this down. So that was 10 years ago. And so I finally
you
got
just
to
jumped
it.
Right on that.
Right.
It was a lot of gestation there.
Yep,
10 years.
Yep.
So now, so you're still doing the consulting and HR work, right?
I am.
This was kind of a side hustle for you?
It was, which is why it took so long. I was busy working. So I still do. TRLS Group is still in the business of kind of helping organizations build their talent strategies. And so I have been doing a fair amount of that work and a couple of HR transformations under the belt now. And then again, just working with companies. I'm starting to actually work a lot more with early stage companies and startups because they have a lot of challenges.
You can do some foundational things there where,
absolutely,
you know, they can get things right.
They haven't
right
broken it yet.
Exactly. They don't have to unlearn anything.
Right. Exactly. So
now about the book, it took 10 years, but did you in your head kind of visualized it and then it came out the way you wanted, or did it evolve over time?
It did a little bit of both. It started out, I was really clear about the idea of the blueprint framework. And so really just quickly, what that is it takes the metaphor of custom designing a home, which everybody can understand. And it lays that over your life so that every room in the house becomes an area of your life, right? So the kitchen is your nutrition. The home gym is your fitness. The den is the family area or the relationship area because that's where people tend to gather. There's a safe in the blueprint that deals with sort of the financial aspects of your life. And so something that's really easy to understand, I was really clear about that. But what happens, I think, when you're on your own personal transformation journey as well, my ideas and insights kind of evolved as I was writing the book.
Sure.
And I finally had to get a writing coach. And one of the best pieces of information that he gave me was, you can write another book. Because what was happening is every time I would go back and read a chapter and try and edit, I was gaining new insights and I wanted to put it all in the book. And so the book just kept evolving.
It would never be over.
He's like, just write the book. Just write the first book. And then you can always expound in the second book.
Right. So now, what was it like with a writing coach? What does that process look
like? It was really helpful for me because I had started out with a podcast and, you know, had a free course that I was giving away, which was an audio course. And so somebody who can just to help hold me accountable and kind of structure the writing process, I'm much better speaking than I am sitting down, the discipline of
and
writing.
Typing,
that,
right?
Oh, God. And so he was really helpful in helping me to have some structure. We'd have check-ins where I was supposed to have a certain amount of pages done, and just guiding me through that process I found to be really helpful.
So it was less about some magic technique, but it was more about holding you accountable to do the work.
Absolutely. And then he would, you know, when we got towards the end of the process, it was more about helping to edit a bit. So going back and reading and making sure everything hung together nicely, that I wasn't being redundant in certain chapters or kind of restating the same thing. Because that's the other thing that happens when you're constantly editing your own
work. Loop, right?
You do. And so he was really helpful in helping me to do that.
So now, how do you even find a writing coach?
You go online to social
Google.
Media. You just Google.
Hey, who's got a good writing coach?
Right. That's all you do. It's easy nowadays. And, you know, you check a couple references and look at a couple pieces of work and then make your decision. But
were they here local? Or
no,
it
was in Canada.
Canada.
Shout out to Kevin Johns in Canada. Yeah.
And then was it a check-in every week, every month? What's the rhythm of something
like
that?
We set the schedule up. And so basically he said, you know, I want you to be successful. And so you tell me what fits with your schedule. And so we ended up meeting every couple of weeks. And he had things to do. I had things to do. So I had a certain number of pages that I had to write. He would be reviewing the previous pages.
So he reads it and gives suggestions.
Exactly.
So he's really getting in the weeds of the book as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so did you care if he knew about the subject matter? Is that relevant when you're choosing a coach?
You know what? It wasn't as relevant when I was choosing a writing coach. It was more relevant when we chose the final editor.
Oh, so then you needed to outsource that too?
Yeah. I got another editor who was
so writing
in
a book,
genre.
You need a team.
You need a team for everything.
It takes a village.
Take a village.
Is that what we learned from this?
It takes a village to write a book.
So who else is on the team?
My kids are probably on the team. But no, it was me, my writing coach. Then we had an editor. I self-published. Mm-hmm.
Did you need a self-publishing coach or you had to figure that out?
My writing coach was a pretty good self-publishing coach too because he's published several books. And so he was able to guide me through that process of self-publishing. I did need a book cover designer.
So that's another team member.
Another team member. That you have to get. I know. You think self-publishing, you just write
it
down.
I thought it was free. No. So you just write it and then throw it on Amazon and you're done.
If you're a little bit more disciplined than I am, it's probably cheaper to do.
Now, do you still have a radio show? Do you still do that?
I'm relaunching that, actually. So again, one of the things that, you know, as I'm busy doing the work that I do, the consulting and coaching work that I do on the TRLS group side of the house, my radio show just kind of, you know, sat there and I wasn't able to do anything with it. But with the publication of the book, I'm actually relaunching that. So I'm rebranding it as Conversations with Trellis. Because with the blueprint, the metaphor is so comprehensive that it allows me to really talk a lot about a lot of different things. We're spending a lot of time right now in the home office part of the blueprint, talking about career and entrepreneurship. Lots of people that I'm meeting, coaching clients, friends, and others are all exploring and contemplating starting their own ventures now. And so that's become a lot of coaching work that I'm doing.
Well, I was asking because I thought maybe you'd pay more than Lee.
Yeah.
You're looking for a job?
Hey,
always looking.
You guys have been together for forever. You're like, you know, the tag team.
Look, the grass is always greener.
That's right.
Is that in the book?
I want to be part of the village.
Right. There is a part of that that's in the book that talks about people always thinking the grass is greener.
So now, for you, who is the target for the book?
You know what? My writing coach was asking me that question. I could never quite answer.
He's texting me right now. Making sure I ask you that question.
Ask her that question again. I think it's really for anybody. I think it's for people who, you know, maybe life is tapping you on the shoulder a bit and telling you that, you know, your life is kind of out of line with what your gut is, what your authentic self is. And so people who are exploring that type of conversation for themselves, I think it's certainly for them. One of the metaphors that I've been using or analogies I've been using, it would be like your parents deciding that they've gotten older and they want to retire and move to Florida or somewhere nice and warm. And they throw you the keys to the family house that you grew up in. And you take those keys and you move into the house. And then you're there for a few months and you realize the house doesn't fit, right? So maybe it was just your mom and dad and the dog. And so it was a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house. And maybe you're married with a couple kids and a couple of dogs and the house just doesn't fit. And so the same way with our lives, we've been handed sort of a set of beliefs, a set of norms, set of values, and we just kind of fall into them. What people told us we should be and what kind of schools we should go to, what jobs we should get. And we don't stop to really ask ourselves questions about, is this authentic for me? Does it fit who I am and who I'm becoming? So that's what it seeks to do. Anybody who's asking themselves those questions, I think it's for them.
Now, do you find that younger people are asking themselves those questions sooner than maybe older people?
I think so. I think, you know, we're starting to see a generation of people who are all about authenticity. They're all about sort of this is me, love me or leave me. Those of us who are a little bit older, maybe are starting to ask those questions now because we grew up in a generation where you kind of did what you were told to do or you did what you were good at. Or you went into the family business. So there wasn't a lot of questioning. I don't recall a lot of, you know, my parents and grandparents going, what do you think you're authentically here to do?
Whose food has to, you know, pop into that refrigerator?
That's exactly right.
That's my authentic me.
That's right. I want to eat. I'm authentically hungry. So I've got to go out and make some money. But I do think younger folks now are getting to that a lot sooner in their lives, which I think is great because I think you don't spend 15, 20 years maybe doing something that you hate or something that doesn't bring you any real joy. And, you know, you burn out after a while of doing that.
So now are you doing some things to promote the book? Are you doing events or talks?
I'm here with you guys.
I know.
Well, so this is, you know.
Enough game, already. Game we're done.
We're done.
Yeah, walk away
it's
now.
It's flying off the shelves. Yeah, I'm getting ready to start doing some book tours, some book signings at some local bookstores. I'm working. I do have a PR person. There you go. There's another
team member.
She's a whole economy.
Really?
I'm working because I've got to keep the lights on. So I'm busy doing
other
things.
You've got to pay for like their 20 team members.
That's exactly right.
You got more people than Spencer.
So I've got Spencer, I'll have to come talk to you. So I've got a publicist and a PR person who's helping me to schedule some book tours and kind of get me and the book out into the marketplace so that we can start to promote it now. So
So where are the places you're going to be doing these talks? Are you going to like co-working spaces? Go and talk to some of these millennials out there?
That's a great idea, actually. Well, so we need
that's no charge.
Thank you.
That's it.
Just brilliant. Just kind of rolling off this tongue. Yeah, so that's a great idea to go to some of the co-working spaces, talk to some of the millennials. But I've got a speaking engagement. I'm actually keynoting at a women's empowerment brunch mm-hmm. on April the 21st. And so I'll be talking to a group of women. There's another group of women who will be on a panel there. And the title of it is Empowered to Start. So people, if you've been looking to start that book or start that business or start that new healthy living plan that I've been working on or that you've been working on. So it's all about how do you get empowered to start? How do you just kind of get out of your own way and get moving? So I'll be doing some things like that.
Yeah, I heard a lot of Snapchat people are looking for work. So
you're right.
This is a good opportunity.
So I can help them out.
Exactly.
That new career.
That second act, right?
Right.
But young people's second act might start at like 22.
Right. Instead of 40 now. Right. So there you go. With all that authenticity, the second act gets moved up.
And if somebody wanted to get a hold of the book, where's the best way?
On Amazon.com, on Barnes & Noble, all the major online resellers. It's available there. And so you can check it out there. You can reach me on all of my social media, which is at Trellis Usher. And I can point you in the right direction.
And then if I got an HR need, learning need, what's the website for
www.tre-group.com. We're in the same place there. So helping you out with your talent strategy, your people strategies, we're here to help.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thank you. Thanks, Lee and Stone. Good to see you guys again.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.